Eggs. In the midst, the eternal prophet, bound in a chain, compelled to watch Urizen's shadow. Raged with curses and sparkles of fury, round the flames roll as Los hurls his chains, mounting up from his fury, condensed, rolling round and round, mounting on high into vacuum, into non-entity, where nothing was, dashed wide apart. His feet stamp the eternal, fierce, raging rivers of wide flame. They roll round and round on all sides, making their way into darkness and shadowy obscurity. Wide apart stood the fires. Los remained in the void between fire and fire. In trembling and horror they beheld him. They stood wide apart, driven by his hands and his feet, which the nether abyss stamped in fury and hot indignation. But no light from the fires. All was darkness round Los. Heat was not, for bound up into fiery spheres from his fury, the gigantic flames trembled and hid. Coldness, darkness, obstruction, a solid without fluctuation, hard as adamant, black as marble of Egypt, impenetrable, bound in the fierce, raging immortal, and the separated fires froze in a vast solid without fluctuation, bound in his expanding clear senses.
They just love it. Black Narcissus, there are the weird.
Black Narcissus is also an extremely ingenious movie,
Himalayan,
which seems to take place in Himalayan country. Very authentic, but actually the whole thing was shot at Pinewood Studios in England. Everything, the temples, the cattle, the people, all of it was simply stagecraft.
Madness and so forth. It seems very
authentic. What a great picture.
Until you read that the whole thing was shot in England at Twickenham Studios or something.
Pinewood, I think.
Everything, the camels, yaks, whatever they use.
Yak.
Very authentic.
Oh, yeah, they had musk oxes and things, but
and muscadine
jelly. It wasn't really real. It was a movie.
Cliff views or special effects.
Sure, you can see down giant cliffs into yawning chasms, and it's all special effects.
Pretty interesting show.
You know what I saw last night was Flesh Gordon.
Yeah. Oh, no. Which version?
Early 70s.
The porno Flash Gordon movie. Well, it does have some good effects in it.
And then they put so much work
into it. The Penisaurus is pretty good.
Well, let's clean it up a little bit, cut those scenes, and it'll be kind of a goofy film. So you have to be sure. Is that the version, or do you see the original, the Penisaurus?
With raw sex being performed.
Yes.
Kind of does like a King Kong.
Yeah, it's the Nezuara.
Yes, the Nezuara is the name of that monster, which is Harryhausen backwards.
Before that, in the cave,
sugary, pastry, creamy, tasty.
Just sitting there.
Rich chocolatey.
So where was this?
Just teasing you, just laughing at you.
Where Yum. Was this party? What?
In my mind.
Oh no, this is terrible.
What's the meaning of this outrage?
Oh, Hal.
What? What?
Terrible.
Well,
what? I told you.
I told you. Apparently, I did. And they are identical, and we will never be able to tell them apart.
You mean you've got one of those things with a David with a sticker from a Laughing Squid on the outside?
No. Now, please bring this back.
Well, look at that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, what are those?
Can
oh,
I
what
have
those
one? Oh, well, there's so much for that one. So, you see, I was simply going to... but thank you for your solicitousness. Oh, well, right, here's a backup in case anything happens to that one.
I'll take that one because that one is actually mine.
This one is yours?
Yes,
now both
is,
of them are
thank
here.
You.
Well,
very good.
Okay.
That's what the show is now.
Well, I already had one anyway. that exactly. wasn't mine.
Yeah, me too.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I don't hang out with
says radio.
I'm going to go stand over here.
I'm famous for about stealing lighters.
Me too. I used to do it on purpose.
Yeah. that's different. That's a felony.
Oh, that's.
That's a felony.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, there is that. Yeah.
Deliberately. But, like, did you plan to steal it?
It started when still smoke cigarettes, and I had this weird idea that if I stole their lighter, they wouldn't smoke as many cigarettes, which, you know, was weird. So, but
wow.
And then
so
over the
was
years,
like
it was
a social intervention?
Yeah, it was. I'm really thinking of the other person.
You're like.
It's not that I want the lighter.
So, so it's like it's incredibly generous.
Altruistic. Yeah, all the way. All the way. Yeah, that's me. Caring about the other. The people. Wow. I care about all the people.
You know, you're like just one of those guys. You'll give him the shirt off his back, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what virtually everybody says in every murder or crime story.
Yeah, he wouldn't hurt a fly.
He would help anyone. He was so funny and smart and...
You know what you're doing right now is fake broadcasting, right? I mean, I hear...
No.
It's not because I hear voices. It's because it's real. It's true. I know it's true.
It's really happening.
He's hearing voices.
Well,
this ain't happening, man.
I had always hoped that the show would be real. I didn't... But I mean...
Well, this is real as it's going to get.
I kind of had given up, though.
Don't give up.
To some extent.
Never surrender. Never give up.
And just don't... But
is there error? You don't know.
Someday it'll be real. Well, yep.
Someday is now.
We always hope. Well, and we hope for July 5th.
The theme of Burning Man this year is tomorrow, today.
And July 7th. What?
Fake broadcast. The godlike Michael Pepe.
Oh, yeah.
With the two little devilly red Michael Pepes beating away at the
He's sort of like an Edwardian referee.
What is their theme?
With a Buffon. Is that what they
even
call it?
Even Tintin the Buffon has
it's
the
like a crazy
devil
wrestling.
Form, which urges him to do evil.
Yeah.
Over
and he's got
over
the square 70s glasses.
Oh, the 70s. You know, that says it all.
I tell you, I don't think my hands are as old looking as his hands.
It all depends.
He has a 90-year-old's hands. I've mentioned this before.
Who does? Who has a 90-year-old's hands?
The Michael Pepe in Twitch's stream. If you notice, it's very...
The real Michael Pepe?
Figure some trick of the
hands are very wrinkled.
Some strange...
You're talking about the real, not the AI Pepe?
I'm talking about the real AI Pepe. Well, the AI
according to what I hear, if your
AI
are wrinkled and your veins are showing and all that stuff, that gnarly look, it's because you're not hydrated enough.
Oh.
Consume more liquid and
is
you'll plump
it?
Out and you won't... Your hands will look younger.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what they say. Drink lots of liquids. Drink water. Don't drink alcohol.
Weird water.
You know how, once again, at Burning Man, they say piss clear because if your pee isn't colored, then you are hydrated. But if it's orange, you need to be drinking some water pronto.
Okay. Right, right. It's a little too rich. Sometimes if you pee, you know, after supper, you'll get like a really red pee.
Well, the thing is, you're trying to purify, trying to clean yourself out, but without adequate fluids in your hydraulically operated body.
That's what's so disappointing about the pee after you've been drinking, like beer, for example. You know, you might have a long pee, and then after it's all over, you look down, and the water's almost clear. And you realize it's all water, you know.
Well, it's all gone is what it is. And it takes more moisture with it.
I suppose so. Well,
yes,
often,
alcohol dries you out, actually.
You often, when you finish taking a shower, you get very thirsty. I'm always very thirsty after a long shower.
Well, a certain Reverend Baby Bear likes to drink a beer while she's taking a shower.
Really? Wow.
And it relaxes her. She likes it.
Yeah. Well, you know, people do fall in the bathtub and injure themselves.
I've always tried not to. I'm very
you don't fall and break the beer bottle and fall among the shards of glass.
Yes, well, let's let a warning out to you folks out there. We're not advocating drinking in the shower. We really are.
It works for somebody.
I guess, but we just don't want the young people. There's so many you know, Relotomaniacs, the little kids that love the show.
Yes, that's right. Well, of course, we do owe the rising generation at least that much.
Yes, to be at least decent. And
but maybe it occurs to the little urchins that not everything that is mentioned is an injunction to do that thing.
Well, yes.
To follow it, to believe it.
Well,
we're not ordering people to do things. We're just presenting entertainment.
It's true, but the show has so much influence over the very young people.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
If we say, you know, don't listen to Taylor Swift anymore.
Is that what we said?
That would be the end of... No, we would never say that, of course.
Certainly not.
They'd frighten the children.
Yes, we wouldn't want to do that, would we?
No. That's... But you know, just even an offhanded hit. remark of yours, Al, for example.
What was that remark? I apologize in advance.
Yes, well,
talking
just
about
a chance
the
remark,
Hungarian
perhaps.
Heresy.
Now, Box Guitars, Amps, and Continental Organ brings a new sound to guitar music: the wah wah pedal.
Wah wah.
A new sound from Box. Wah wah. Listen to the sounds it lets you do.
Yes, the wah-wah pedal, God's gift to the guitarist.
Now there he goes from head to toes, the Brawly Male. In turtlenecks, big belts and checks, the Brawly Male. Looks brawly, looks pearly. You know he turns the girls all girly, cause he's a hip one.
Sportswear by McGregor.
And now,
Saturday night, Action USA presents an up-and-coming rock and roll sensation. Fantasy recording artist The Gollywogs, doing their latest release, Fight Fire. Plus, Brown Eyed Girl. Also on the same bill, you will experience the out-of-sight sounds of the Just Six. Plus, Action USA's latest talent discoveries, The Riptides and Gates of Eden. And again this week, Action USA is offering its money-saving special to all you girls. That's right, this week, all girls will be admitted for only $1.50. So guys, grab your favorite girl and follow the searchlight to Longshoreman's Hall, Beach and Mason Streets on Fisherman's Wharf for another fantastic show featuring The Gollywogs, The Just Six, The Riptides, and Gates of Eden. Be early, as the first 100 at the door get a copy of The Gollywogs' new hit single, Fight Fire. Get in on the action this Saturday night at Northern California's largest weekly teen dance at Longshoreman's Hall on Fisherman's Wharf.
You know, handed out little $5 pieces that had a picture of a giant picking its own nose.
Oh, but that was a device, a machine that was built.
That's right.
A giant colossus. In
Don and Tracy built that giant nose-picking giant.
It was powered by hipsters running in a giant hamster wheel.
Right.
Yes,
right, exactly.
They ran and they powered it.
Oh,
and Zero Boy and I were like the carnival barkers for this, trying to get people to come in and see the giant picking his nose. The most disgusting sight on earth. In fact, it was called the disgusting spectacle.
Yes, exactly. I did about a few hours of that barking for it, too. Thank you. It was awful fun.
The show?
Fun.
Yeah.
You mean when you were barking doggedly? I assure you weren't like a puppy. No, actually. I barked, too.
I
growled and yowled for that attraction.
Yes.
And we brought in a big crowd. There were a few injuries of enthusiastic people falling forward in the field.
But they were tripping.
They kept going all night long.
All night long.
That's too bad. Good people to have something better than
you. One of many attractions on the Midway. The giant
people.
Tree that has... has 1,000 leaves, and each one flushes and changes color caused by a computer algorithm in the electronics in the trunk of the tree. The entire thing is artificial because you're not allowed to bring any living thing into Burning Man. You can't bring a plant. You can't bring a flower in.
And you can't bring a chicken or a puppy. No, sir. No how.
The Green Burning Man. Do you remember that? So people brought plants and things, and they were horrified when they were seized and burned at the gate. Because you couldn't bring grass or something in. But there was an attraction.
I'm concerned that our guest, David Normal, may not show up.
You could lie in.
You know, it often happens. People say they'll be on the show, but when it actually comes down to the business of coming here and parking and all of that stuff, they just decide, well, maybe I won't. And who will miss me, they say. But I say I will miss them. I was looking forward to talking to Mr. Normal. No doubt he will be present at another time, if not still later this time.
You could at least have somebody take the plant away. They take it away and they burn it right at the gate at a bonfire. Under the horrified eyes of the people sitting in the cars. What was the theme the year you were there with Philo and the rest of us?
I think that was the aliens.
Aliens?
Normians.
That amuses many people.
That was the theme of Burning Man?
Yeah.
What year is that?
Well, that's 2000,
maybe?
Okay.
It amuses the small fry.
Senior Stang was there. And Philo.
Yeah.
And his cousin, one of them.
Yeah.
That's right. 2002, VJ says.
His what?
And he was a UFO.
The year.
That's just crazy talk.
Well, the whole idea, I think that I'm thinking like could have been closer to the 99 too.
Now we're getting farther and farther back in time.
Well,
city or festival or community or event. It's been
the whole idea was being that trip with Stang and Philo was back in the 20th century.
In fact, some people believe Burning Man is the physical manifestation.
Not really. No, I think it was 2000. Yeah, that's pretty close. But 2000, because I remember because it's the beginning of the new century.
There are no spectators.
In fact, the press pass Dana did this beautiful mobile sculpture.
Nothing in particular.
Yes.
A beautiful experience of your own.
And it represented some kind of extraterrestrial.
The bones of the dead.
Or something
that I vaguely remember.
It was a sort of a fictional race of extraterrestrial people called the.
Not to see for himself.
The what now?
The Lenonians.
Bizarre. Oh, well.
It was all Larry's, thing.
Yeah, that would be Chairman Larry, all right.
Yeah,
sounds like him. But usually he was more grounded in his speculative fabulation about the name.
Cafes, neighborhoods, and police.
You know, he did. I mean, they thought that was his job. That's what he worked on principally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you know those signs that you read to the right of the car as you drive slowly in? He was responsible for the content of those signs.
Oh, right.
Literary quotations and so on that were on there that you read, like Burmeshave signs. But these days, people just gun their engines and zoom by. I've never seen anybody driving slowly and reading the signs.
Are you guys watching the same channel?
Probably watching the VJ Pussycat channel.
All right, yeah.
Just
I'm imagining everything, Relodio, just in my mind.
You wouldn't think they'd
hooked
be
up to this breeding machine all night.
You wouldn't think they'd be speed up to get to Burning Man because they're going to have to wait in line for hours.
Maybe they've been waiting in line.
I want to get three cars ahead of those guys in the line.
Yeah, but you see, that's a good idea. The thing also,
let's go.
The signs
let's go to Burning Man.
Are by one lane of traffic.
Cool.
But what you've got are four or five parallel lanes of traffic. So only one lane can read the signs anyway, since they are small and meant to be seen as you drive at 5 miles an hour along the right side of the road.
Wow.
But they keep it up. It's a tradition.
Well, skeletonized body.
Yes, the theme is Skeletor's Funhouse.
this
good
year.
Good Skeletor.
Good Skeletor. Good boy. Good boy.
Well, then there were all the wonderful Halloween celebrations down at...
Down where?
Down at Headless Point.
In Hunter's Point.
Headless Point.
Headless Point.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, start that again.
Yes, Headless Point. Heron's Head Park at Headless Point.
With a real horse's head hanging over the door.
Yes, there'll be a horse head in your bed.
I don't
if you
think
don't
we can use that in the shop.
Well, you can't say it on the show, dead horse, but...
No, you can't beat a dead horse on the show.
We're independent. That's why, you know, we've formed our own LLC.
But we do have our own black dog, as it were, our own horse to beat
a
dead horse.
We're addicted to heroin, yes.
Black
dog. Strictly speaking, my meaning. No, I meant what I was intending to say was that we have the obsessions which are brought out again and again as we do these podcasts. Never you mind.
Darwin, are you lost, Darwin?
Lost, Darwin? Darwin's theory is never lost. It was time for his word. But we think we have a habit of our specific repetition of theme. There we are. True enlightenment. Thank you so much. I deeply appreciate it. I appreciated it.
All right, well,
I appreciate
we'll start
that
it.
Again. Thank you. Yeah, sure. Yeah, stick somewhere soon. Yes, soon.
Yeah, can we get out of here?
No, I'll stick it somewhere where
never leave.
It's going to surprise somebody. I can tell you.
There's no leaving the show. No one
it's
will leave
like
the show.
It's like the Communist Party or the Catholic Church. Nobody leaves.
No.
Just the incessant drumming.
The drums, they're driving me out of my mind.
It's very hard.
Yeah, if you're driving right now, you probably won't be for very long because you'll crash.
Yeah.
Because of these hypnotic drums we are playing.
Onward through the area, burning with malaria. Alone on my safari, with no one to be sorry. If I run, with dry run.
Blue Raz. Gift that keeps on giving.
Kruger Rand. Due to replace U.S. currency. Yes, sir.
Here, the official speed of the parade was going to be 2.5 miles an hour. Is that the same for this year?
Same speed this year as last year, yes.
Okay. The parade will run 10 minutes longer, however, 2 hours and 10 minutes total.
Oh, for centers and more things,
we were able to get a little more time on television.
That's
the stupid wide audience. So the same number of units, but they'll be spaced a little farther apart.
Are you nervous about your first timing?
Oh, no, nervous in the service.
What time is the parade going to start? 8:34 from this intersection. And it's going to go 2.5 miles an hour?
That's exactly right.
Okay, what's the pace car in this area?
It's going to go right over the cliff.
Well, there was a car.
We have a pace car.
This is the pace car. A nice slow pace.
Ah, good. Thank you. Yes, Burning Man's were wonderful. Absolutely. Maybe they still are, for all I know. Other than these.
Yeah, I think for the folks going there, just as wonderful as. Because that's all they know. That's all we knew. That's all they knew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, well.
Even Rob, who got close to Burning Man, sort of. He got up to the Sierras. And I got to the, that was the year I snuck Jody in. And on the way back, we stopped at the gas station in, where are you, like, on 80. And the guy came over, the guy who was pumping the gas, and came out, was real nice. And turns out, he looks at me and goes, are you with her? I said, no. Do you mind if I call it?
What?
It was really funny. He was so serious, like, that's the old guy.
Wow.
That was fun. Yeah, I just kind of made her like a little mess of trash in the back and went in. And nobody cared.
Huh?
Jody, I made her a little mess.
They rock and rolled in the trash?
No, I hid her as a piece of trash right behind my seat with on a sheet on her.
Right.
And she could be really tiny. She could pull it in. And so, it was really funny. And then she immediately got out and went two camps away and started getting immediately super drunk. and spent you know, running around drunk that year.
Good Lord. Well, that could be a dangerous thing at Burning Man. Running around too drunk. It's pretty hot.
I think she may have stayed. She got around because I dragged her out a couple times, to see the place.
I've done that. I snuck in 1 year.
Yeah. Well, how did you sneak in 1 year? And then I have to wait for the she's here and the moon's here. So when she comes around to about like here, she'll answer my question. So I have to wait now. You know, the tension's unbearable. And she'll see, okay, there it is. Now she's answering
my
question.
I lost my ticket on the way in.
Oh, no.
Malfunction. I can't talk because you're still talking. So stop talking.
Okay.
But did you manage to get in anyway?
I'm so tense, man. Come on, answer the question.
Well, I was just curious.
Yeah, I was asking you.
She doesn't have to tell.
It was like stuck behind the glove compartment.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, because I walked in during a whiteout.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, and cool.
I had a bottle of tequila. And I was running across the playa, and it was whiteout. And my shoes kept coming off, so I put my shoes under my armpit, and then I fell one time, and then I only had one shoe left, so I just left that, and I kept going until I got close to civilization of camp, and I could hear, this is the weirdest part, is I could hear the merman playing
on the
Burning Man radio station.
Yeah.
So that's what
and that was John Hill.
Some guy that came up, I was kind of telling my story on the air, and then some guy helped me get to my camp, because I didn't...
That's always nice.
No, it was Baba. What's his name? What's his name?
Oh yeah, what's his name?
Baba.
Amritella.
Baba Beans.
Santelli.
Rick Santelli.
No. Baba.
But yeah, and you know what? The weird thing.
Guido Scarducci.
Yeah, Guido Scarducci.
It was the.
And he had that chart.
The theme was
why you wanted to be an artist.
Exactly. That was the best commercial ever.
Yeah.
Best television commercial I ever seen.
Yeah, that was
what
year?
VJ Pussycat.
I don't know.
VJ Pussycat. What year was that? I don't care about your story. I care about my question.
How old is
she? Yeah,
because we got to start waiting.
Right. I like the delayed part because by the time she's salted, I'm on to the next one.
You mean there's still delay?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Can't you tell by the piano?
The American Dream was the theme.
Keep America Green?
And I snuck in.
What year?
During the American Dream.
Oh, American Dream.
That's every year.
Yeah.
The American Dream is reborn.
A white picket fence and a house in the suburbs. Average man and
wife. Well, maybe that was the 2.5 theme. Maybe that's the theme.
A dog named Spot.
Okay, let's all sing the theme.
And a cat named...
It's an American Dream.
That's pretty good.
That's America.
His other friend of mine.
That's the country we love.
The lyrics are underrated.
A giant rubber exploding octopus created by Hollywood's greatest special effects experts.
An American Dream.
Dream on, America.
Do-re-do-de-o.
This ain't my rodeo. And it ain't my president.
Yeah. I've been to the rodeo and back.
I've seen how this rodeo ends, and it ain't pretty.
I know how to rodeo, and I know how to read.
But we can't all just get rodeoed.
RadioValencia.fm. And there's so many awesome shows here every single day.
And an R and an A and a D and an I.
And that spells show. The showy rodeo.
Yeah, that's right. The one you're listening to now, whatever you're
that's
doing.
Right, folks, whatever. Stop. Stop what you're doing. Pay attention only to the show. Have no other thoughts.
Gather the show near your responding device.
Yes.
This is your lifeline to the show. Except no interruptions.
Except no substitutes.
I'm going to call the show right now because they can save lives.
You know, we really should shoot a logo.
Wait, I can't talk right now.
Okay.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street. Brick hotel, well, I'll be so lovely, baby. I'll be so lovely, baby. I'll be so lovely, I could die. Could I have a little more echo on my voice? Oh, no, it's always crowded, that's got it. You still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the gloom and be so
Elvis is a lovely baby. Elvis is a lovely baby. Elvis is a lovely nigga. Now the bellhop's tears keep flowing. The desk clerk's dressed in black. Well, it's been so long and lonely. See, well, let her get back. It's a lovely, it's a lovely, it's a lovely, it's a lovely. It's a lovely leg. Well, now if your baby leaves you and you got to tell the tale, you take her on down lonely street to Heartbreak Hotel, where you will be, or rip my jeans, where you will be a third pair today. You'll be so lovely you could die. Jazz. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room for broken-hearted lovers to cry there in the blue moon. And make you so lovely, back. So that's too much echo. Heartbreak be so lovely, tears keep flowing. You'll make you so lovely, back. That's too much. Turn me off.
Turn him in quick. Out of crime. Users are losers, and losers are users. So don't use drugs. Don't use drugs.
Drugs are bad, okay?
McGruff says, take a bite out of crime.
Take a bite out of drugs.
Take a bite out of this. Oh,
take a bite out of the war on drugs.
This one? This seems to work.
And they took a bite out of that drug war.
Who took a bite out of these drugs?
Come on, baby. Eat the rich.
No more biting the drugs, okay?
Take a bite out of the drugs.
Here we are. Sorry.
Well, that's somebody.
Hi.
Eat the rich, baby.
It's Bitcoin.
Well, I suppose. But this works. I'm leaning into it. Am I on the air?
You are.
Oh, no.
You are on the air.
Is there anything beneath me, a net to catch me if I'm on the air?
No, not really. Only your own sense of decency and decorum.
Decency and decorum, do I have a sense of that?
Time will tell.
Time will tell.
After all, as a maker of art, you must know what is appropriate in the composition and what seems to stick out like a wounded sore thumb.
A wounded sore thumb. Not just a sore thumb, but a wounded sore thumb.
Well, I conceive it as being sort of swollen with a big bandage on it, as if drawn by a Smokey Stover-style cartoonist.
A Smokey Stover-style cartoonist. Now, what sort of mother names her child Smokey when the last name is Stover?
Well, I believe this was the nom de pen of a famous cartoonist who drew in the approved style that some call the Bigfoot style of goofy cartoons. And when Robert Crumb's work initially appeared, it was compared to Smokey Stover. He was called a great vulgar American cartoonist reminiscent of Smokey Stover. So,
oh, okay. Well, I do. This is the first smoke signal I've received of Smokey Stover.
Not to worry. It was just a figure of speech. I'd like to welcome you here to the Ask Dr. Hal Show live on radio. I've been promising the audience that you would be here.
And I've been taking my time getting here.
And now you are.
Well, so I am. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
And so we do have David Normal. I said we would, didn't I? Well, I wasn't wrong.
Hello, everybody.
Are you in the country for a while?
Well, I'm back from Las Vegas.
But before that, you were hanging out with the wild Ukabalaponga people of...
the the Ukapalabanga people.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's some distant foreign place.
Well, the Ukapalabanga people, a.k.a. the Balinese.
Oh, Balinese. Yes, you were in Bali, weren't you?
I was. I spent yet another trip in Bali. And this is the second time, the second year in a row that I've gone to Bali to witness the Ogo Ogo, which is, I think, what you were aiming at with that.
Is that the name of the demon festival?
Well, it's not. It is a demon festival, but the real reason for having the Ogo Ogo is to purify Bali in preparation for Nyepi. So every year they have a Hindu New Year.
But you deliberately crafted your visit to be there at that particular time while that was happening.
That's right. That's right. And it's the second year in a row that I've gone to Bali to witness the Ogo Ogo.
Well, I saw some pictures that you sent back, and they were most impressive.
The Ogo Ogo are extremely impressive. They are giant demon statues.
Yes, they seem so well made.
They're extremely well crafted.
And lifelike and realistic.
Yes, some of them
are. Insofar as they're giant demons, but they're realistic.
Well, they're very realistic demons, that's right. The Balinese have a. They have a kind of second sight. They have an ability to see the supernatural that other... Well, hello. Hi, K-Rob. How are you?
I only brought two.
Wow, K-Rob is here and he brought banana milk.
Is that what that chartreuse beverage is?
Sorry, I didn't bring one.
Oh, that's all right. No, you probably didn't know I was here, so don't worry. Plus, I'm not a big aficionado of banana milk or any other chartreuse beverages. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah, I stick to Pepto-Bismol. Pepto-Bismol has the kind of color that I like.
But that's not a beverage, old man. That's a medicine, an anodyne for dyspepsia.
Perhaps I'm suffering from dyspepsia.
Oh, my.
Yes. Now, how did a drink like Pepsi ever get past the dyspepsia stigma?
Well, it was thought to be suggestive of pepsin, that valuable digestive enzyme. But there was no nothing to restrain them from making the most extravagant claims, including that Pepsi would make you young and erase age from your face and body.
Okay. I'm sold. I think I'm going to go out right now.
I wouldn't. It's inferior to Coca-Cola.
You're right. Coca-Cola actually contains the coca alkaloids.
Coca-Cola is medicinal, and I was given it only as medicine when I was a little shaver. So I actually look forward to these medicaments in which they mixed paregoric and other opiates.
Oh, you go back quite a ways if you were sipping on paregoric.
Yes, I was. Well, that was what my grandfather thought was absolutely salutary. He had faith in many nostrums and remedies. Sorghum could do no wrongs. Or blackstrap molasses with Brer Rabbit on the bottle.
Well, that's a good brand.
Yeah, that rabbit, you know, with a blue frock coat, but his rabbit feet sticking out and so on.
Yeah. That's an iconic advertising mascot.
I'm drinking this banana milk in front of you, but you don't object to...
I haven't led a sheltered life.
What can I offer you? Would you like some Australian licorice?
Australian licorice? I don't do licorice.
Oh, well, then I'm afraid.
Australian or otherwise? Australinesian licorice?
I have some of the most delicious licorice on the planet. Not here, but I have it at home, and I plan to give it to lovely Robin Coomer, who's a big fan of licorice like me. But I this see. Is real expensive stuff, but it's so delicious. I've tried to get people to taste it, but a lot of them say, oh, I don't like licorice. Well,
like
you should
me,
try
that's
what it. I mean, this is some the apex, the acme of the confectioner's art. Once you take a piece of this licorice, your soul will evermore desire it. But, of course, it's up to you if you don't wish to begin that perilous flirtation with a nay plus ultra.
I like sassafras better than licorice.
Sassafras be good. And, in fact, you see how this banana milk comes in a big, thick milk bottle?
I do. It's a very nice bottle.
Yeah, it's very keepable and collectible. Well, the same outfit, local, the Rosa Brothers, also make a sassafras-flavored root beer milk.
Yeah, root beer milk I like.
It's tasty. At times, K-Rob has brought an entire quart of root beer milk into Guzzle. And they have other flavors, but, you know, root beer and banana are kind of the outliers.
The outliers of what? The milk?
Well, the rest is, you know, chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, banal, bland. You know.
I used to like to have hot milk, mint milk. I would go to
hot
a
mint milk?
Hot mint milk.
That's one for Ripley.
No, it's not really one for Ripley. It's one for me. I would have a hot steamed mint milk.
In a hot minute.
In a hot minute, yes. Those were the days. Well, you were long ago sipping on paregoric. So paregoric, exactly what is paregoric again? Refresh my memory.
Well, it is a medicine, an opiated medicine, which is given to little squirts who don't seem to be well or at the top of their form.
At the top of their form.
That would be me. When my parents were mysteriously gone and my grandfather and his housekeeper were in charge of my health.
I see. Where did your parents go?
I've often wondered where they went.
Yes, okay. Do you know who Kenny Veach is by any chance?
Kimmy Veach?
No, Kenny.
Kenny.
Kenny, like Kenny Rogers.
No,
Kenny
I don't know. Kenny Veach, how would I know him?
Who Kenny Veach is either. That's why I'm asking you.
Well, there
this
are a
is
million,
the Ask Dr. Hal show.
There are a zillion billion humans on this anthill earth.
Yes,
why
but there
I
aren't
know?
Many named Kenny Veach. Have you ever heard anybody named Kenny Veach before?
Not till now.
Yes.
Well, if he's listening, I'm
he
afraid there's nothing he can do because the studio phone still does not work.
Well, Kenny Veach is believed to have been not abducted by UFOs, but to have voluntarily joined them. And he is a Las Vegas legend. He's a Las Vegas legend.
Lots of UFO contactees would rather be with the Space Bros than with their own fellow confreres.
And why is that, Hal?
Because they're tired of normalcy and they wish the exotic. But how odd that the space people they contact often seem to have questionable racial theories and to be Aryans with long blonde hair and so forth.
Those are the Pleiadians or the Arcturians you're speaking of.
George Adamski rode on their spaceships.
Did he?
Well, that's in his book, There Are Flying Saucers. Have you ever read his books?
I don't think I have. I know who George Adamski is.
The
I know
famous
George
contactee.
He's like one of the originals. He goes back to, what, the 1940s?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, he's he had his circle of fervent believers.
Right.
J.G. Ballard wrote an interesting science fiction story about a guy who goes to talk to an old contactee, you know, clearly based on George Adamski, who's full of nonsense, you know, but he takes him out to the desert, and there, sure enough, is a huge flying saucer buzzing and rotating and so forth.
What's your opinion about Billy Meyer photographs? Are those genuine?
Well, as William Blake said, everything which is possible to be believed is an image of truth.
Certainly the Billy Meyer photos are attractive
these days,
kitchenware type.
Flying saucers
visions of truth.
Get away with anything these days because there are so many drones in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Performing unusual maneuvers that one more thing zipping around is hardly to be wondered at or remarked on.
I see. I have a drone, but I keep it tucked away most of the time.
Puzzling evidence operates one or a couple, I guess.
I find them really useful. I was recording the mummification ceremonies in Tanataraja using
my
drone.
Did you just say mummification ceremonies?
I did. I was droning the mummification ceremonies in Tanataraja.
All right. Well, apparently you're none the worse for wear for that experience.
No, I'm better for it. It definitely, my collection of footage is better for it. That's for certain. The mummies were being unwrapped from their many swaddling cloths.
You know, that's against what they were supposed to have those things on there. Now they're taking them off. They're unwrapping a mummy, which can't do anything about it.
Well, the mummy is being redressed. So the mummy has all of its clothing taken off, and then they put new clothes.
Oh, they rewrapped the mummy.
Well, not just rewrap it. They put new trousers and a new shirt. And
trousers?
Maybe,
shirt?
Yes, and if a female mummy, that perhaps a blouse and a bra.
Well,
and
that
so
is
forth.
Decent of them, I suppose.
Yes, did you see the new mummy movie? I saw it in Las Vegas.
A new one?
There's yet another mummy movie. It just came out.
Who made it and what's the story?
Well, the story is... Well, first, who made it is Lee Cronin.
All right.
Do you know who that is?
No, I don't.
Yeah. It seems like people who make horror films have to have names like Craven or Cronin or Cronenberg.
Yes.
Yeah. There's something...
Craven.
Yeah. Craven, Cronin.
Well, this is like an Egyptian mummy, and it becomes revived and walks around and that sort of thing.
It's actually an American mummy in this film.
American mummy.
Yeah,
stay away from me. Well, some guy got mummified, and now he's back?
No, it's a young girl that gets mummified.
No.
Yeah, and she's in Egypt, of course.
All right, an Egyptian.
Yeah, her father is a news correspondent working in Egypt.
So she's not an ancient Egyptian mummy.
No, she's a spoiled, rotten little American suburban twat. Oh, is twat a word I shouldn't say on the air?
You can say it here. This isn't real radio. So this is like a spoiled brat American.
Yes.
Who's hanging out in Egypt and somehow gets mummified.
Yeah, an evil witch befriends her in the garden. And then in the best scene in the film, actually.
Like my landlady.
Yeah. In the best scene in the film, she slips the girl a nectarine.
Oh.
And it through the fence, and out of the nectarine emerges a scarab, which immediately flies into her mouth. Yeah, and the scarab goes right down her mouth. Have you ever swallowed a fly or any other types of insects, Hal?
I don't, not intentionally. I might have inhaled a fly. They're so small. Are you aware of a novel which came out around the same time as Bram Stoker's Dracula called The Scarab, or maybe it's called The Beetle?
No, I don't think I know The Beetle.
It's about there's a dog-sized beetle in it, but there's some sinister plot to take over the living by one of these damned mummies or spirits. It's been a while since I read it, but it was at one time widely known, and now it's hardly known at all.
Well, isn't a lot of this mummy fiction come out of the strange happenings that occurred around the discovery of the tomb of Tutankhamun?
Well, because of the supposed curse.
The curse, yes.
On the explorers who were part of that expedition, and they pulled out Tutankhamun, who was, had all his gear, he was in great shape, because he was actually, I hate to say this about anyone, not all that important in the history of Egypt. So,
but he was a you know, he was like a letterman in
he was a
Midwestern college sports or something. He was like a star athlete.
He was a prince of Egypt, but somehow the grave robbers, the tomb robbers, missed him and his stuff. Now, if you remember your Egyptian history, it was the pharaoh Akhenaten who destabilized the whole country with his attempt to replace the polytheistic pantheon of Egypt with one single god based on solar worship. And that didn't work out, and there was a lot of stuff that didn't get done in the government. Eventually, he was succeeded by Tutankhamun, and nothing happened. But then Horemheb came, and that guy was a warrior who believed in attacking all the nearby countries and subjugating them and building up temples and triumphs and so on. So it was kind of bland there for a while.
Yeah, but didn't Akhenaten have a kind of elongated skull? I seem to have...
A lot of them did. It was a cosmetic procedure.
Huh.
They put the infant's head on a board and, you know, you can distort the shape of the occiput while the bones are still soft.
I see.
Now, like the flathead Indians.
Well, the Mayans did something like that, too. The Mayans also like to elongate their skulls.
Well, you know, they did a lot of funny things in the names of fashion, like bound feet to the Chinese and so forth.
Right. Now, but the elongation of the skull, unlike binding the foot, now, does that have an effect on the functioning of the brain? I mean...
I wouldn't think so.
You would think so?
I would not. The
you
brain
not.
Is well and specially protected. It's not supposed to be affected by the exterior. That would be a pathology. And also, the elongation of the skull wouldn't happen in a short time, but could take a long time. But, you know, that many of the royal house of Egypt were exceptionally effeminate men. And their inbreeding did them no good.
The inbreeding. Right. But now, the... You know, some people believe in trepanation. They think that...
Including Neanderthals, they also did it.
Right. Well, if trepanation is a procedure that expands consciousness and enhances intelligence...
Well, it may take pressure off the brain, and under certain circumstances, that technique may succeed. But... I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all cure.
One-size-fits-all cure?
Now, you know, something the cavemen tried, because you've got to try something.
Right. You got to try something like drilling a hole in your head.
Or scraping it with a napped flint or something.
Right.
Whatever
well,
they
well,
did.
I mean, they these were cavemen, so...
I'm sure they had
be
some...
a drill, it would be a stone axe or something.
Well, that's a little bit too percussive, I think. It would be more like the scraping, or who knows? They might have had some good doctors among the cavemen.
Well, what about these sculptures in Egypt that are made of, oh wait, I'm trying to, it starts with an A, what is the name of the andesite, that are made of andesite, which is a very, as I understand it, a very hard stone, and they're very precise, large sculptures, and andesite is much too hard to be tooled with copper.
Well, what kind of a mineral is it?
Well, it's like granite or something. It's a very, very hard...
Very
heavy
hard
stone.
And heavy.
Yes, and not something that a copper chisel would be able to tool.
Well, the Egyptians also had a secret, now lost to us, of tempering bronze, which we can't do.
Oh, how did they do that?
We don't know.
Well, you don't know. So they were
the secret has been lost.
So you think this andesite may have been tooled with a tempered bronze?
No, I'm just saying it occurs at a time when they had all sorts of mineral and metallurgical abilities, which they had found by the length of their time in the Nile. They even had a method of making ice cream, which is quite impressive to me. considering how hot it was and that they achieved it through evaporation and other things.
So they would evaporate the ice cream and then it would recondense and like, you know, reflux the ice cream?
I wasn't there, but there was a way that they did it, in which evaporation played a big part.
Well, wouldn't the liquids evaporate? I mean, the water evaporate out of the ice cream, leaving...
I'm not saying it was the most efficient method ever.
Well,
but it was remarkable that they could do it at all.
So this ice cream making technique, it's probably is the missing link, so to speak, in our understanding of how the pyramids were built. It was actually through the use of the ice cream making technology, which they had.
I'm afraid it only made enough ice cream for the top tier of society, the Pharaoh and his family. But I'm sure the ice cream makers may have sampled a bit. Why not?
I suppose the ice cream makers and their concubines sampling their...
Yeah, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Well, they know their concubines very well. Right. Where does the word concubine come from, anyway, Hal?
Well, one who is with you in your cubic aditum.
Your cubic, what'd you call it? Ad infinitum?
In your cubicle.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I think most people that work in cubicles can't afford concubines. I mean, you got to have an entire office or office suite.
Well, that would be a cubiculus. That is to say, an enclosing structure. But I really don't know. That's just a wild guess, since I would have to look it up to be sure.
So what's the difference between a cubiculus and an incunibulus?
A cubiculus and a what?
Incunibula.
Oh, incunabula.
Incunabula, thank you.
Well, incunabula are a type of heavy book, of a large volume. Often these books are concerned with sorcery and are manuals of how to form spells and so forth. They are called incunabula because the best way to keep them open was to rest them in a cunabula or cradle. Like they had these things like this that you put the book in, like so.
Sure, sure. Well, if you're a real sorcerer, then you have a vulture whose wings are spread just that way, and you can rest the incunabula on the vulture's wings while it feasts on the corpse of a sacrificial victim.
Oh, that doesn't sound like a very nice sorcerer to me, but worst of them all would be involved in necromancy. The
necromancy.
Most repellent and vilest element of black magic, where you disturb the dead and make them live again.
Well, you know, there's that group up in Reading, a Christian group that controls the town of Reading, and the leader of the cult, his child died, and then they spent a good amount of time trying to raise the child from the dead.
Wow, he never read Stephen King's Pet Sematary, apparently.
No, I have not read Pet Sematary, but I was just in a pet cemetery outside of Las Vegas.
That novel concerns, you know, there's this cemetery, and if you bury something there, it may come back to life. And they do it with their cat that got run over, you know, and it comes back, and it's not, you know, they wish it hadn't come back. But then,
why did they wish their cat hadn't come back? What's wrong with their cat?
Well, it was a creepy cat that had been in the realm of death. That was not the cuddly cat that it had been before it went through this. But then their little son was hit by a truck and killed. So they buried him, and he came back in his funeral suit, you know. But
funeral suit.
But they were sorry. Oh, yeah, you put a corpse in a special suit to make it look good. Yeah. Often these suits don't close in the back, you know. They're just so people can see you in your coffin.
Right.
But it was a scary book in the Stephen King way.
I don't think I've ever read anything by Stephen King.
Really?
No.
Well, he's got some good ones. You might like the the vampire one, whatever that one is called. I forget.
I saw some Stephen King movies as a child, I think. I saw the one about the car. Which one is that?
Christine. Yes.
I saw, I think I saw Cujo about the big...
About a Saint Bernard. You know, if a dog is going to attack you, I'd rather be attacked by a Saint Bernard than anything else. They have a little bitty weak teeth, you know. Maybe a Saint Bernard over a slavering German Shepherd any day.
I see.
How about The Mist, made more recently?
I think I saw that movie, too.
That was a good one, wasn't it?